friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and we have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Jessica Allers. Did I pronounce that right, Jessica?
Yeah, that's great.
And we have a lot of information about healing and working with the mother. Jessica, if I might just take one moment to tell the people about some links that I think are very important, I would appreciate it if you could just wait up 2 or 3 minutes so we can give this information and then get into our discussion. Is that okay?
Fine.
We are having two very serious forces come together right now, and it is the United States, basically, and their stand against Iran and their nuclear program. And sometimes we don't get enough news here in the States. And I came across some newspaper reports that came out of Russia, and this paper is an English translation of Russian news, and that's the Commerce font, K-O-M-M-E-R-S-A-N-T. And these links are on one of my websites, www.archangelmichaelsconclave.com, under the radio show for today's date on the 22nd. Now, the reason that I think this is so important is because I feel, according to Archangel Michael and also things that Caesar said last week, that there is something that we as human beings can do about this to help get us through this serious issue. And what the issue is on April the 28th, there is the G8 summit in St. Petersburg, and it is a session that has to do with the Security Council. The United States is calling for sanctions against Iran, and in this newspaper article, you will see that both Russia and China opposes sanctions. And there's a lot of information in this article as to what sanctions are, what their thinking is behind their stance. And what makes this so ominous, when you read the article, you will see that what this says is, since the United States broke off relations with Iran, that there is nothing that they can do unless they have cooperation with other nations. And so the other nations are not lining up behind us. Now, in the Yahoo News, which carried an article about Bush's stance on a nuclear strike on Iran, Bush is saying that he will not rule out a nuclear strike against Iran if diplomacy fails. So we have two forces coming together that are diametrically opposed to one another. And we also are in the midst with our country and China now. In the Taipei Times, which also there is a link to this article, President Bush is voicing his concerns to the fact that Beijing apparently is building up missiles targeting Taiwan. So we have two probably very serious forces going on here in the United States. And I would like to reiterate messages that we have gotten from both Archangel Michael and from Caesar, how when we see something that we do not agree with, that we can take a stand. We can make a decision. No, we're not going to allow that to happen. And we can join with like minds. And our thoughts can help overcome any other thoughts that are against what we are bringing forth. And that is at the bend of creation, before these thoughts become hardened on this level or this plane. So I would suggest that this is a serious concern, and that you read the articles And if you are so inclined to form an opinion as to the stance that you think our country should take by way of peace efforts, and once you do this, connect with your I Am presence, your higher mind, and you will find directions, perhaps, maybe an impulse to write letters to senators or peaceful demonstrations. There'll be something that'll come to your mind when you make this firm decision to stand for peace. And so with that, after I urge you to find the time to go to www.archangelmichaelsconclave under the radio show for today's date, the 22nd, to please read these links, because we're not getting this information in our press, and we need to know where the Russians are standing, where the Chinese are standing. There's even information there about South Africa Dispatch News and how they're viewing the situation. So, Jessica, we didn't mean to get you here on a negative point of view. I really think that was a positive point of view. We can take action.
Absolutely. No, it's wonderful. It's good to be educated about what's going on in the world from a perspective outside of the United States, because there are many different aspects of viewing what's happening, and it's important to come together as a one consciousness and create positivity where there is a possibility of negativity. So that's very good.
Well, that is one of the things that I like about your book, Into the Woods, The Journey of Wholeness Through the Path of the Mother, is because you bring forth a lot of information in that book about world consciousness and how it affects the earth. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about some of your experiences. You mentioned that you are a Reiki master and teacher, and I think perhaps a lot of our listeners are somewhat familiar with Reiki, but perhaps not certified in sacred flames Reiki. Can you discuss that a little and give us some understanding of what sacred flames Reiki is?
Sure. Basically, you're connecting with the different elements of energetic fire, I would say, particularly like a lot of people are familiar with what's called the violet flame, which is a transmuting flame, and it transmutes negativity into positivity. And so when you're working through the energy centers, you focus on the sacred energetic fire that corresponds with each aspect of our energy field through our chakras. And so it's just a different form of transmutation or transmutation with negative energy, and connecting with the colors in the spectrum that correlate with the different chakras, and bringing in positive where there has been negative.
So if you're working with, say, Reiki that is not part of the sacred flames, that energy, I don't think that energy you're using color, are you?
Well, It's interesting. I mean, part of our journey as healers, when we're working with different people, is being able to bend with a different aspect of God that you're working with. Everybody is attuned to a different aspect, you know, within our consciousness, and we're attracted to different ways of being. So when you're working with them, you kind of also go on your intuition, and you are connecting with their higher selves, and you're feeling it out. And one of the reasons why I like to connect with different aspects of healing energy and healing work is so that when I do work with an individual, I have different things to bring forward that might be more in tune with this person's energetic creations. I feel that all forms of energy work connect in the aspect of God and healing, period, in love. But it can be fun and intriguing to bring in different aspects of that healing within God and working with an individual and just kind of flowing with what comes forth when I'm working with them.
Now, am I pronouncing this right? Sekhum?
Sekhum, yeah, that's correct.
What's the difference between that type of Reiki and, say, the sacred flames, or is there any difference?
Well, I look at it as that it connects with a different aspect of God's type of healing work, and some forms just connect with different vibrations. It's kind of like when, you know, you're in a room with many different people, and each person before you is a different reflection of God.
Mm-hmm.
They're all God, and we're all one, but we're mirroring a different aspect of God. And so I see a lot of energy work and healing work coming about in the same way. With Sakim, you're connecting with an Egyptian, a sacred ancient Egyptian form of healing that corresponds with Sekhmet. And Patrick Ziegler, he was very fortunate to be able to spend an evening in the Great Pyramid. And when he did this, he connected with a very high form of energy that gave him the ability to reconnect with an ancient form of energy work, just like in the traditional Reiki form in Japan when it was kind of like remembered by Dr. Asui.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he brought it to the U.S., he started teaching it, and a lot of people were attached to the idea of symbols and attunements. And so what he's done is he's wanted to detach from all that, and he has labeled it SKHM. So it still is Sekhmet. And when we're working with it, we're working with that Egyptian aspect of the healing energy, whereas Reiki is more connecting to the Japanese sacred aspect of ancient healing.
So in Sekhmet, am I understanding this correctly? The mm-hmm. healer's not using the symbols that they're using in the other forms of Reiki. Is that
That's
true?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
He connects more with what we call the infinity symbol. And within the infinity, he learned from Sufis, actually, while he was living there, and how that connected with the ancient Sufi dance, which is much like the infinity symbol when they're moving. And it's very powerful, and it moves energy out of your body in such an amazing way that you can sometimes feel it vibrating through you. It's quite an incredible way of releasement.
Oh, that is fascinating, because in the infinity symbol, when the lines cross over in a center, there is a great, explosion of light.
Right.
Have you been able to see this?
I feel it. I feel it. Like, even when you said that, I felt a huge rush of energy move through my body.
Uh-huh.
Now, so I do feel it that way, actually.
Would it be helpful to people, let's say they are not working with a healer at the moment such as you, but would it be helpful for them to imagine the infinity symbol and this explosion of light in the middle?
Definitely.
In the center?
And if you can also envision it moving through your body as you breathe, that helps move energy, and you're also connecting with, you know, that creative aspect of God. And so it's very powerful, and it really connects you to your higher self as well.
So just to go over this a little, because there's times when people aren't necessarily working with a healer such as you, and they might feel like they have an issue that they want to work with. So what you're suggesting, if I'm understanding it correctly, is you see the infinity symbol, you see that and feel, if you can, that explosion of light in the middle where the lines cross, and then breathe into it and try and bring that light and that energy into the body. Do I have it right?
Yeah, and then I would suggest, as you're exhaling, to envision any negativity that you feel is within you or anything that's bothering you coming out with the out-breath.
Mm-hmm.
Because the breath is very powerful, and any kind of exercise, and especially with the movement of energy. And you can take it to many different levels. You can even move your body in the form of the infinity symbol while you're doing that, and like you're dancing, kind of. And one of the things that Patrick Ziegler teaches is to also recite, you know, all love. The Sufis recite Allah, and
yes.
He takes to a different level of also all love. And when we chant all love, we are connecting with the love force, the God force,
mm-hmm.
and we're raising ourselves back up into love, out of the lower creations that tend to make us feel sad or in fear or
mm-hmm.
or create discomfort within our physical bodies.
You know, that brings up a very interesting thought. Do you think perhaps the Sufis were doing this? Do you think that perhaps they were dancing to the infinity symbol?
I do believe that. I feel I get such chills when we talk about that. They're a very mystical, powerful, spiritual group. And one of the reasons why, you know, they were forced, you know, to... They're the mystical aspect of the Muslim religion, I believe. But, you know, when dictators, you know, come into different countries and, you know, make certain laws, they had to abide by them religiously. So the mystical aspect is still there, and it's very strong and very deep.
Well, actually, that mystical aspect of spiritualism has always had to go underground when those who are using temporal force come into play. And so we have so many periods of history where this very knowledgeable spiritual information had to go underground, or else the people would be persecuted.
Exactly.
But that's a fascinating thought. I just love it. Thank you for telling us that.
Well, of course.
We could do
Absolutely.
This sitting in our room doing paperwork or something that maybe isn't even using the mind, just listening to music. So you could put yourself in a meditative state and use this. I find that fascinating. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Now, something else that you were talking about in your bio, and I am really fascinated by this, dear. This being an ordained minister with the Essene Church of Mount Carmel. Do you pronounce it Carmel or Carmel?
Carmel.
Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to know about that is that a direct line of the Essene Church that goes back to the time of Christ and before the time of Christ, or is this an offshoot that's a little bit different? Can you give me a little bit of that history, perhaps?
Sure. I believe that this Jim, who kind of reenacted this organization, actually he lives in Colorado, is very connected, you know, felt the deep calling, you know, to the Essene spirituality and the purity behind, you know, the original teachings. And in that connection, he brought, you know, Carmel into the organizational name because that was where the Essenes, you know, studied their mystical, you know, school, at least the Nazarene sect of the Essenes, which is the sect that Yeshua and Mary and Magdalene and Anna and all of their family were a part of. And so he brought that into the aspect of his teaching and, you know, basically has given rise to a really wonderful independent school that allows people to study a coursework that connects with, you know, the original Essene, you know, writings, that of which we actually have had any access to because so much has been, you know, kept hidden by the Vatican or burned at the time of the Council of Nicaea. But he's also, you know, brought forth, you know, a very well-rounded cultural study course that also connects you to the Bhagavad Gita and, you know, the mystical writings of, you know, different Catholic saints and the underlying part of their faith that still connects with, you know, what these Essenes originally taught, so we can understand the important spiritual aspects that really exist there and are so powerful.
Well, the original writings, as you say, have either been burned or destroyed in some fashion. Have they been brought back to the forefront, say, through channeling, or people remember them, or secret writings been found? Has any of that come to pass?
It's a combination, but yes, there is an amazing philologist named Edward Bordeaux-Sezicli, or Edmund Bordeaux-Sezicli, and he did actually translate many different Essene texts that were actually in the Vatican. One, the Gospel of Peace, I believe, which is very important. There are a lot of books by him and you can find them, and they are the translations of certain texts that he's been able to get access to.
I didn't get that name, Jessica. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but what was the gentleman's name?
I believe it's Edmund Bordeaux, B-R-D-E-A-U-X, Zekely, S-Z-E-K-E-L-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find a lot of his works usually in a metaphysical bookstore, or online. I believe there is actually a nonprofit group that works to sell his pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very important, and he was just... He's a brilliant person and understood language. He was very educated in language. And so when he translated these doctrines, I believe that much of what he's translated is extremely accurate, and it is of original, you know, pieces. So unlike some other, you know, other pieces that have been rewritten several times, you know, this, it's more of a pure aspect of what the Essenes taught.
Jessica, I just noticed that the information that you sent me, you did not put your web page on here. Can you give your web page information out to people who might want to know more about the work that you do and the Essene information?
Definitely. It's www.livinginspirit.org. And on there I have, you know, a lot of different links, you know, to information about a lot of the things that you and I have been talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anything anybody missed or they want to read more about, there are plenty of links under my favorite links page, and you can buy my book there. You can read more about different aspects of energy work if you'd like. And I also am putting on different articles that I've been writing for newsletters. I do have an email newsletter as well that people can sign up for, where I'm giving monthly messages from different chapters within my book so that people can read more about what...
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I'm trying to feature like a chapter of a newsletter and then kind of give a clarification from my own experience and why I'm feeling it's important to, you know, whatever's going on in the world today or what kind of energetic shifts we're going through at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, yeah.
I was also interested in this Rocky Mountain Mystery School in Utah. You have so many really unusual things that you're working with, Jessica. Can you give us a little thought as to what the Rocky Mountain Mystery School is?
Absolutely. It comes from the original Mystery School under King Solomon. And
Solomon.
Solomon.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's really remarkable, and the information is very, very pure and fully connected. And I have gone through various initiational work with them. If somebody, you know, there are a lot of us feel attuned to ceremony because I believe of past life experiences, and it teaches a lot about ceremony and creating in your life and connecting with, you know, higher vibrational frequencies, so that when we are creating, we're always creating out of our highest aspects of self and the elements and all aspects of creation. And it has really helped me become very grounded, actually, because sometimes I like to just fly away. But grounding is a very big part of our work here on Earth, to remember that we're human and enjoy the human experience, too. So I felt that it's very balanced.
Now, something that you didn't mention here, but I think this is probably something that we should be discussing, is that the healing work that you do with individuals and how you work with your angels and your guides. Do you want to tell individuals a little bit about how you do this, what service you are to humanity in this respect?
Sure. Okay, for example, when I do my healing work, I usually connect immediately with my own angels and my spiritual guides. I do believe that each of us has a group of angels and guides that are working with us on a regular basis to accomplish what we have chosen to do here on Earth in this particular life. And as we grow throughout our lives, you know, our guides actually change very often into our higher learning. And so when I connect with someone, I immediately connect with them, and then I begin the energy work, and I let it flow through me, and I listen, you know, and for any information that's very important for them on their healing process, because I feel one of the most important aspects of healing is to become empowered and to always understanding and listening to what's going on within us and how we can constantly work to heal ourselves. So a lot of what I'm doing is also teaching people how to heal themselves, and then we can work in a co-creative process together to get to the core of whatever issues are creating discomfort within our physical bodies, our emotional bodies, our mental bodies, our spiritual bodies, and bring ourselves into a wholeness. And as I started doing that actually in my own work, what's happened is I've become more of a, I would say, a channel of information with my own angels and guides, and taken healing to an even bigger dimension through working with the earth and working with one another as our mirrors in the oneness of life. And once we can understand that everybody here on earth is co-creating with one another, and we're all different aspects of ourselves, and mirrors, you know, mirroring something for us, mirroring a message. They're here to tell us something that we may need to heal or may need to learn. We're all healing together. And when we're working to heal together and paying attention to the inner dialogue and the inner voices and all of our experiences, then we are also working to heal one another as well as the Mother Earth.
Well, that is actually, I think, a good introduction to move into the information of your book. And it's called Into the Woods, A Journey of Wholeness Through the Path of the Mother. I thought that was a fascinating title. Why did you choose woods, into the woods in the title? Because you find the woods is particularly healing as opposed to, say, the ocean or mountains? Or was this just the focus you were taking?
It's funny. When I'm connecting with guidance and, you know, working on different things like that when you're writing your pieces, I felt that one of the reasons why they gave woods is because it was actually more of a metaphor for what it is like in our lives when sometimes we feel like we're walking through this darkness, and all of a sudden we feel overwhelmed, like there's so many things around us and things coming at us, and we want to, you know, like sometimes when we're going through the woods, it's almost like in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy, you know, she gets into the forest and she is confronted with, you know, different fears within herself when she meets all these amazing guides, like the Scarecrow or, you know, the Tin Man. Mm-hmm. And so the woods were more of a metaphor for us, you know, conquering, you know, all of these shadows within ourselves, and yet also bringing us into that connection with nature and how healing it is and how it is a different aspect of nature and Mother Earth.
And so taking that one step further, would you say that the path of the mother, the healing by using the path of the mother, is to get close to Mother Earth and use her energies? Is that what you would say is the basis of this book?
That's a part of it. Basically, the Mother Earth is representing the Divine Mother in our role as creators. And she is the feminine aspect of the co-creative, the divine union within ourselves. When we can connect to the Mother Earth within our heart and the balance of the Father, we begin a creative process that is complete and in the highest within ourselves. And at the same time, you know, it's an aspect, it's an important part of our lives right now, because to me the Mother Earth is ascending, and yet at the same time we are all being confronted with this issue of complete balance of masculine and feminine in the world that we are creating in. And so I think there's no coincidence that all of that is happening at the same time. And we are kind of being pushed into the full understanding of our full balance within. And we see that in the world today as, you know, the feminine aspect is being brought to the forefront as a leader. I was just thinking today of that beautiful movie Whale Rider, actually, when I was thinking about this, and how there's this beautiful young girl in this indigenous tribe in New Zealand, and her tribe is struggling to survive, and there was supposed to be a son born into the family that would lead everyone to wholeness again. And it was a girl that was born, and her grandfather rejected her. And when he did
this... Familiar story.
What is that?
I said, that's a familiar story. They were expecting a boy, and a girl popped up.
And it was a girl, you know. And there's no coincidence that it happened at this time on Earth, because her responsibility was to be a leader. And after he entered a state of chaos, and nature turned into chaos around him because the whales became beached, he had to recognize the balance of the feminine and the masculine as a leader within himself. And when he did this, at the request of his dear granddaughter, the whales went back into the ocean, and they did become whole again, their whole family and their whole tribe. And there was a fullness because at this time on Earth, it's a very important aspect of our growth in ascending our human consciousness.
Well, one of the things that, well, there's lots of things to like about your book, but one of the things that I had some great interest in was the little meditations that you have sprinkled throughout the book, really things of wisdom. And something that I thought was very powerful was an exercise that you call the still point within, a meditative exercise in the heart of God. Do you care to tell our audience a little bit about this and how you would lead one through this exercise?
Sure. I'm this is the one. There's so many exercises.
Where you look in the mirror.
Okay. Okay, the mirror, when we're looking in, at ourselves in the mirror.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're connecting with the center point between that reflection and with who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And within that center point is a complete balance. And if we can, we reach that center point and we reach that perfect balance, then we are accessing the highest power ability within ourselves. And with that comes our highest form of creation. And one of the things that my guidance has talked a lot about in this book is how when we create out of the mind, a lot of times we're creating actually out of almost a form of chaos. And our creations are not very stable within themselves, and we tend to see them collapse upon themselves. And they explain this energetically. Through the flower of life, actually, as well, and the point in between. It's almost like when you see the infinity symbol that we were talking about earlier. And if we are not creating imbalance and in that perfect part of balance between the mother and the father and our highest probability, then it is hard to create sustaining manifestations that will bring us to our highest probabilities. And so that's kind of like one of the main aspects of this book is teaching us how to create out of our highest so that our creations are of God consciousness, of a God vibration, and they will retain their beingness here on Earth and bring us to higher levels of understanding and being in comfort and love and joy.
You know, as I was listening to you talking about balancing the male and the female, I was reminded of some of the ancient cultures, how they came forth, they flourished, and then they fell because they were either male-dominated or female-dominated, and it wasn't a blend of the two.
That's a very good point. And one of the other things that they talk about in the book, actually, is the different cultures within our Earth right now that struggle through so much war and fear and anger because they refuse to accept a balance in the femininity of God. You know, just an example, you know, a lot of what has occurred in the Middle East and the suppression of the, even just looking at the female is something, you know, demeaning and below. That area of the earth is so full of friction, and that is one of the reasons why. And when we create a force of energy that goes against what is and the truth, it can't sustain itself, and it's going to be very, very volatile. And they use the metaphor for friction creating heat and fire, and a fire that coincides with more of an angry element, and then there's chaos again.
Well, I have traveled in the Middle East, and I have seen families traveling together where the male is dressed in a regular business suit, kind of, you know, Western, and the children are dressed in how you would expect children to be dressed. And then the woman is completely covered. All you see are her eyes, even, and this was a hot day, and she even had gloves on, so you couldn't see her hands. It was like making the woman disappear. She was disappearing to the eyes of the world. Nobody saw her except her eyes. It was very sad. I had a very sad feeling about that sight. And, yes, I do believe that they were trying to stamp out the feminine. Actually, you have a lot of exercises in here. This one was perhaps another meditation using the mirror. I particularly like that. And this one was breathing deeply until you become centered. This might be just another aspect of what you are saying, but looking in the mirror, claiming your full power, breathing long enough so that you're feeling centered, and then allowing the energy to come down through your body from its highest in the form of the Christed light. And so there was a lot about using the light then to envelop yourself and wrap around you like a warm, inviting blanket. When I read that description, I thought, see, I can't wait to go do this. I didn't have the time, but I thought, see, I've got to go do this. It just felt so cozy. It was like just reading the words, I could feel what it must be like to create this energy and feel this energy enveloping your body. But you have a lot of very interesting exercises in this book where you can self-empower. You're empowering yourself, because so many words in here is looking at the tiny flame that you have opened up in your heart and realize how powerful you are. There was another one that you used where you open up your heart and how you invite all of your family members there.
Yes.
I like that one because there's a lot of discord in families today. Have you found that doing that exercise actually helps build bridges among family members that are feuding with one another?
Oh, definitely. I think that it is a great one to always go into your heart and have them there. Because energetically, we have the power to create, love, an understanding and a healing between others within our families and our friends and even people in our workforce. And if we can do that, at least we're doing something positive. So no matter how much negativity other people want to create, we're at least working towards, and actually a lot of people see a change in the way these different aspects of ourselves react to us when we do go within our heart centers and communicate with them.
Well, just for the sake of argument here, let's suppose you've got a family member that really irritates the daylights out of you.
Sure.
And you would like to bring some peace around whatever issue the two of you are feuding over. So with that in mind, how would you recommend a person going about this meditation to encourage peace among, you know, with the family member that they're not hitting it off too great with at the moment.
Well, I'm feeling that in doing, well, part of what we are going to do is to go into our heart center and we sit down with this individual and just visualize love moving between us is we are creating an alchemy within our heart, which to me is a form of a chemical reaction within our being. And we're basically between two individuals or between our understanding of one another and ourself within the other, there is some kind of a discord. There is, and when we feel the discord, there is an energetic reaction taking place already. So what the object is.
You mean
of,
the other person feels your discord?
Well, the discord has been created in some way or another. We have to make sure we understand that we're not powerless to it, and we're not powerless to them. And so then we're going to enter our power, and then we're going to change the dynamic of that energy between us. And it's not always immediate when we make the conscious choice to really do this. But it's about finding a level of acceptance in who this other person is and what they are choosing to create in this world. And between our own energetic creations and the way we're perceiving everything around us is one big dynamic. But
so, Jessica, how do we go into our power? Okay, I've got this person in front of me. I'm viewing them, and I want to create something new and peaceful between us.
Okay.
So how do I go into my power? Just making the decision that I'm going to change it? Okay.
That's knowing that you are powerful enough to do that is huge. A lot of people, again, feel powerless to it. They feel like this is the way it is, this is the way it's always going to be, but it's not. And you have the power to change it by being in a state of love.
Something just occurred to me. Something that makes me as a person feel very powerful is to envision myself as a priestess with the long robes and the staff and
my hands. Yes. Absolutely. And it's so funny you said that because a lot of times I do the same thing.
You do?
And I do. I remember, you know, and then I say to myself, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are all, you know, God creators, and so when you empower yourself with that vision, it helps you connect with that power, you know. And actually, that's kind of fun. Something that we can all do is create a vision that makes us feel empowered, whether
mm-hmm.
it is as a goddess, you know what I mean, or some warrior, or you know, a tree, you know, something that you envision as a form of power. And then look at that in your heart and know that you are God.
And know that you have the power to make that change.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. Empowerment, you know, it comes in many different ways. But we have the power to do it, and we have the power to change. And you know what? Sometimes those other people around us may choose not to change, and that's okay. And that's another part of our empowerment, is accepting that. And then saying, you know, in my heart, I cannot change you, but I can love you for all that you are, and I can live my life to my highest and best probability, and know that I am doing everything that I can to just be in love.
You know, Jessica, there's another aspect of that. If you recognize the fact that you want to be friends with this individual, and yet you know no matter what you can do, you're not changing them, but you have opened up your heart to love, there's a part of that action is really healing you, healing the person who started this process.
Absolutely. That is one of the most wonderful gifts you can give too, you know, to somebody in these types of situations is, you know, a lot of times I say to myself, I just pray for unconditional love within their hearts for whatever they need it for.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not attached to anything also. And I'm giving them a form of love that can be used for their highest probability, whatever that dream or whatever that may be, or healing. and then I detach from the situation. But I still know that I am one with them, and I can still live my life without, you know, any negativity that they're creating attached to me.
You know, I think detaching yourself from negativity is one of the hardest things that people are called to do. But if you manage to do that, it brings you the greatest joy.
It really does. Absolutely. Because we are stepping into what we inherently are, you know, the truth of our being, our love. And that just, I mean, I feel it welling up within me now when I say it, you know, it's just so joyous. And we're here to live on this earth in joy. And if it's not there in a certain situation, then that's where we have to create boundaries within our lives and understand, you know, I'm here to live in a state of joy. And it's not always going to be there at different times between different people, but I choose joy and I choose the love of God that I am.
You know, that brings up another point, Jessica, and I don't think we can end this program today without mentioning it, is how we can share our joy with Mother Earth, and I think that that is so needed now. Would you like to comment on that, methods that we could share in joy with Mother Earth?
Totally. I from what I feel very strongly is when we play, and we play with one another, and we are living our lives, you know, in the fullness of our being and really enjoying it, you know, enjoying the human experience that we have here to live in, whether it is, you know, nature or some other aspect of our being. And we, when we do this, and then when we connect also in groups with enjoy and we're playing and we're just laughing, we are creating a healing just by being in that state within the Mother Earth, because we are all connected as part of her being, as part of her. I like to look at it as an understanding of part of her soul. And so I get this vision of people laughing and truly feeling love. And when they laugh, there is a vibration that is being given out. And it's going into her core, and it is creating healing. And the more we do this in our lives, and the more we stay in our highest and within our heart, the more the earth is going to feel and react to this, and the collective consciousness as well. And it's so important to try and live. You know, the more we empower our joyness and our being, the more we empower everyone around us and everything. And then it will just naturally vibrate into her beingness.
When I think of utter joy, it has to be a child laughing and giggling because you're doing something that's fun.
Absolutely.
Like a child that's 5 or 6 years old playing in the water, kicking the water on a brother or something. That laughter is so infectious and joyous. And I think of that, and often, and whenever, because I heard two children playing around in the water, splashing one another, and I thought to myself, oh, my golly, that is so beautiful. We all did that once. Where did we lose that ability to have such joy in the moment of what it is that we're doing, even if it's just splashing somebody with water? What happened to us along the way that we forgot that?
Well, it's great that you're talking about the inner child, because that is really a pertinent aspect of our healing process and connecting with what brings us joy. A lot of times when we were children and we laughed and we were just living life, we were living in detachment, you know, from the worry and the fear of the lower self and what, you know, before we've been taught a lot of our patterns, you know, that go on within us. And so, you know, one of the healing activities that I envision doing with people, and I think that we can do this with ourselves, is doing the silly things that we actually did as a child and playing and feeling that joy and love of the simplicity of being without the attachment to worrying about paying the bills and doing this and doing that and knowing that we're always being taken care of. It's going to be okay. And then there is even more, you know, of a music being created within that laughter. And I also feel that one of the ways we can work with one another, whenever we feel like there is somebody before us that may be so negative or so angry and they take it out on you, when you look at them and you can see themselves as a child and how afraid they are,
mm-hmm.
it's such a healing thing to do because you can see how scared these individuals are and how they react in a lot of ways the way that they did as a child, even into their adulthood. Only they're just adults.
So this is the inner child, huh?
Definitely. And it's there within all of us, you know. And
I
it's
say
about
let
becoming
them out.
Whole with it.
I say let them out, Jessica. We don't want to keep that inside.
Well,
let's
don't.
Let these inner children out
the
and play.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's such a great experience to do that. It really is.
Jessica, before we go, there's two things I want you to do is for us, if you would, is to give out your website again for people who might have missed it, if you'd be kind enough to do that.
Okay. It's www.livinginspirit.org, LIVINGINSPIRIT.org.
And then the other thing, if you would be kind enough because, you know, this an hour just isn't enough time. It just flies by so fast. I have tried to bring forth some things from your book, Into the Woods, A Journey of Wholeness Through the Path of the Mother. But, you know, you can't discuss everything in a short period of time. Is there some favorite part of the book that maybe you would like to comment on that we didn't have an opportunity to discuss?
Sure. I think one of the greatest parts of this book is a meditation that's given that's called Going Into the Hearth of the Mother, H-E-A-R-T-H. And this is a really neat exercise, and it's something that I hope everyone can touch on if they have a chance. I'm also going to do a CD with different meditations from this book. But,
oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'm really excited about doing that. And but the reason why this exercise is so important to me and I think for everyone is because when we go into our heart and we feel the joy within our heart, then we are connecting with the present moment in our highest probability. And within our heart, we connect with the Mother Earth. Then we sit before what I call the hearth, which is, you know, here this beautiful fire that exists before us. And we are creating and healing for not only ourselves, but for the Mother Earth. And we are creating a beautiful space within ourselves that we can go to anytime to feel peace and to feel the highest aspect of our ability to create between one another and for the Mother Earth and for the healing that can take place within all of us. And so that is really one of my favorite parts of the book, and I'm excited to share it with everybody.
Well, I read that, and I was fascinated with that also. And as I was reading that, I was thinking of the Romans and their Vestal Virgins, how they kept the fires of the hearth going, and that was the center of the family, and that was their peace and healing. And, you know, nothing changes. All of these truths might... they changed their clothes a little, you know.
Right.
They wore togas at one time and Roman dresses, and here we are doing the same thing. Jessica, you have been a delight, and I enjoyed having you here talking to our audience, and hopefully they'll go to your website. And will you let us know when this CD is finished with the meditations? Because I believe this would be very important for people to know.
Definitely. I look forward to sharing it with everybody. And I'm so grateful for being able to be here, too. And I thank you so much, Carolyn, and everybody.
My pleasure. And I would suggest that all of our audience who are interested in this conversation go and sign up for Jessica's newsletter.
I promise to do my best.
Peace and joy to everyone. And the last word is, let your inner child out and play today.
That's right. Let's have some fun.
Good night.
Peace be with you all.
Indeed.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.